All right, you're in the arms room with Glenn.
And John.
All right.
Woo! Freedom. America.
I took a bite out of an apple.
That was rude right before we started the
show.
Dude,
I really wanted the apple.
I know your parents, and I know they taught you better manners.
We actually had a listener. It was kind of funny.
Did he request that you eat more apples on the air?
No. We had a listener that sent us a message about how much he enjoyed this certain show, but I guess I was eating Skittles. I think it was when Annette sent us that candy for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just like, every time you'd start chewing on a Skittles, I wanted to kill you. That was kind of funny.
Nice.
Oh, we get some really amusing messages from listeners. You know, no one really... We get some people who will disagree with us, but it's usually like on technical points.
Yeah.
And you're like, we'll have little stuff. We'll have a medic calls up and say, hey, I disagree with your guys' endorsement of such and such product. Or like one time, a guy actually said, hey, you guys said, you know, the TK4L is TCCC certified, and it's not. We went back and found out it lost.
Yeah.
Or it didn't get the certification because of a failure point, and it was like, oh, shit, okay. So we were able to go back and say, hey, sorry, we didn't, you know.
We
the
lied.
Only two turned
not,
to get
not on purpose. We lied.
Cat and soft tees. But
yeah, we just lied to you.
Yeah, no big deal. No, we still lied to a bunch of people.
You know, accidents happen.
But so it's only like technical points. We rarely get people who just message us and like, I totally disagree. Every now and then we get some people who don't like us. But I wish we had more people who didn't like us and would email us.
We're not big enough yet. That's what it is. Yeah. I mean, we have a good reach.
You'd think, though. I mean, 60,000 listeners or whatever, you'd think that at least one of them would hate us.
Yeah, but if you think about some of the bigger names...
they're reaching millions of people, or millions hundreds of thousands, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So if someone could please just pretend to hate us.
Pretend to hate us.
Yeah, just send us hate mail.
Send Mason. Mason.
That would be no Glenn specifically.
Email.com or whatever it is. I mean.
Yeah, let's not put my personal email out on the radio, please.
Too late.
I'll make a show radio, and then they can send me BS on that.
You're going to make a show radio?
You shut your mouth. I'll make a show email, and then they can send me.
Words are hard.
Thing. They are. All right, today's show brought to you by Hex Mag. Buy some Hex Mags, for crying out loud.
I sold all of mine this weekend.
Did you really?
Every single one of them.
Well done. What were you selling them for?
I don't remember, but I think I basically ended up accidentally selling them at my cost.
Mm.
So I kind of screwed that one up.
Well, it's tough
because I was doing like a bundle deal because they have their special that's going, their map reduction thing, and they had the listings and everything. So I think I was in line with that, but I may have undercut myself just a little bit, but it happens.
Well,
live and learn.
Remember, we still have people deployed.
Yep.
Second people over there doing God's work. Somalia.
Hmm?
Yeah.
You didn't I didn't hear news.
It? Official declaration, man. We're going to Somalia.
I didn't hear anything about that.
I don't know how heavy.
Fingers crossed.
I was talking to one of my buddies in group yesterday.
I don't want to
go. Oh, you mean special people are going over there or regular people are going over there? Damn it.
Well, special people
have already been there. But this particular special individual is a buddy of mine, and he said, yes. Go time Somalia. Official declaration. We're going to go.
Again. All right.
We're going to go reorganize some faces.
We can't fix that place. It's the same thing as freaking Afghan and Iraq.
No.
But if our guys get the opportunity to go kill more bad guys.
Oh, yeah. That's obvious.
There is a fix. We just don't have the American public doesn't have the stomach for it.
We need to team up with Russia. Mm-hmm. Russia's got the stomach for that
shit. You kill everyone. That's how you win.
Start over.
Period.
Turn it into a Walmart parking lot. Turn it into a Walmart.
Perfect.
Somalia needs a Walmart.
That'd be more like a Costco, probably, if it's Somalia-sized. Or like a Sam's Club, maybe. They're owned by Walmart.
Or you build one of each, and you put them directly across the street from one another, and each of them has a Starbucks in the parking lot.
I went to a Walmart in Mesa. Democracy? Like what I would imagine a Walmart in Somalia would be like.
I would assume that a Walmart in Mesa would be full of Mormons.
Not necessarily true. It's not like Mesa's all Mormons.
I've been to a Chicago Walmart before.
Ooh, how was that?
Like Somalia. That was Somalia.
It was Somalia.
I think everyone was speaking Somalian.
All right, Redwire gear moment, go.
Stop playing dress up in public.
Oh.
And stop telling people about your service. Nobody gives a shit. If you have to tell people about it, you just don't. Don't. I don't care. Yes, I support veterans. Yes, if you ask my company, we have a veteran discount. Of course we do, because we are, in fact, veterans, and we like 95% of all veterans. But that 5% of you clown shoes that are out there running around telling people about your service and playing dress up, you're ruining it for the rest of us. Stop. Stop. Please, God, stop.
Thank you for your service, John.
Thank you for your support. And don't thank me. Thank my recruiter.
Thank my recruiter.
Stole that one from a buddy of mine at my unit.
Don't thank me, thank my recruiter.
He started actually using that on people when they thanked him for his service. Oh. So if you have to ask someone to thank you for your service, just get over yourself. Cool, you served. So have countless other people.
I've said it before. We volunteer to do a job that we get paid for.
Yep.
Exactly.
People want to say thank you. That's awesome. But by no means are you entitled to that.
Nope.
Mason looks like Dave Chappelle right now on that one episode where he's snorting cocaine.
Y'all get any more of them deployments?
Dude, look at him right now. He's eating Fun Dip. And he's
wearing
like
a beanie.
Wearing a beanie, eating Fun Dip. And he's got the Fun Dip like crusted around his little child lips.
Yeah, they're having me do a little bump off my sugar stick.
You won't.
A bump.
You won't snort it.
Right, I won't. I don't want my nose to bleed.
Snort it, dude.
No.
He's such a sissy all the time about everything.
Mm-mm.
His mouth's all blue. He's like a kid over there.
Five-year-old.
What'd you do this weekend, Mason? You didn't come to the range and shoot with me,
I didn't. Oh, yeah, it's my fault.
Mm-hmm. It is your dick. Your fault.
It is your dick.
It is your dick.
Is it my dick?
It is your fault,
oh
you
my
dick.
God.
That's what I meant to say.
Okay, there you go.
Oh.
Saturday, I actually went to a gun show that we had here and hung out with some people that I know that work at the shows, like John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, buddy.
Saw the Redwire Gear booth, bought a sling for somebody. Saw my buddy Alan, got
appreciate
some free holsters.
Your business.
Gunslinger Tactical, got a new holster.
Nice.
I'm excited that he that Gunslinger Tactical is moving back to the Phoenix.
Yeah, he's coming so we can actually do things now.
Yeah.
He went on a deployment to babysit, basically, so he's coming back, and now he's going to do it. So, and then I had a show recommendation for people. All right? Mm-hmm. If you're ever on the Netflix, doing the Netflix and chill, you need to watch the show called Noble. It's a Norwegian special operations, but it's like an actual show. It's not like a documentary or anything. Mm. It's only 7 episodes long, 40-minute episodes, right? But it is actually a really highly legitimate show. Like, I would recommend watching it because the tactics they use are pretty legitimate. They don't use any of this Condor BS gear that normal radio people or show people buy. No. They're all wearing, like, legit plate carriers, helmets, lights. They got nods and everything. It's all, like, legit stuff. And, in the last episode, not giving anything away, but they do, there's like a trauma situation and they no shit do TCCC on people, like nice. Applying chest seals, cat tourniquets, improvised tourniquets, bandages on people's arms, head wounds, talking to people, going through the evaluation process and everything. Like, it was really impressive.
Nice.
So definitely check it out. It was a really good show. It's called Noble.
Hmm.
Speaking of tourniquets, one last thing.
Speaking of tourniquets.
It was brought to my attention that if anybody was in the Phoenix area and they were at the gun show this weekend and they bought a tourniquet from a booth, I don't remember the name of the company, but
probably
they,
some shithead the, company who's selling.
They were selling the new finger hole, and I'm using quotation mark, the finger hole cats.
Yeah, they're totally fake.
That are totally fake, mm-hmm. totally pieces of crap, and not at mm-hmm. all endorsed by North American Rescue because they're complete knockoffs. So if you bought one of those, go back to that company and tell them they sold you a piece of shit.
Keep talking now.
And get your money back. Sorry, I had to burp. That Rip It, though.
Mm.
So
Rip It's goofballs? A little Wowie sauce with the
Whip
boys?
And goofballs.
Oh.
So that's it.
Huh. So, you know, that's actually a really great point because it's something we bring up in our trauma classes all the time. Of there is replica knockoff fake gear mm-hmm. out there. Cats, tourniquets are one of the number one replicated, duplicated, you know, things. And as I saw these finger hole cats the other day on the internet.
You're on the Instagrams.
Yeah, I was on Instagram. Look, don't buy that crap. You want to save a couple bucks? That is the most retarded place to possibly save a couple bucks mm-hmm. is on a piece of equipment
that could literally save your life.
You know, like if you're buying it, then you already kind of have that concept of, hey, I might need to use this one day.
Mm-hmm.
So spend the extra $10 or whatever and get a piece of equipment that doesn't suck. So yeah, I would rather buy an older generation cat that you can pick up for 15 or 20 bucks than than that. Whatever.
Yeah. And the only piece of news that I had.
Yeah.
The president just announced that he's increasing defense spending by 10%. So it's like $68 billion, I think.
That's a lot.
So, fingers crossed, we get some Abrams tank redos and get some actual, like, training money. So if you're an IRR and thinking about leaving, you might want to stay in because hopefully it's going to get better. Fingers crossed.
That's what they always say.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're moving on to our main topic for today. So
what
main
are we talking
topic,
about today?
What is our main topic? Yeah. We are, John, choke yourself. My hand.
Whoa.
Our topic today, we have Ted in the studio with us. How you doing, Ted?
Doing pretty good this morning.
Ted is in the studio with us. So Ted is a listener and one of our students over at Independence Training and a very well-experienced guy in his own right, in his own life. And he had suggested to us via email, hey, why don't you guys do a show about communications? Because we had done a show about emergency response stuff and kind of preparing for emergencies. And we'd mentioned comms, but we hadn't gone very deep into it. And so Ted was like, hey, you should do a show about communications. And so I was like, hey, how much do you know about communications? And it turns out he freaking knows a lot. So so Ted's in the studio with us today to talk to us about that. So kind of take it away, Ted. We'll kind of ask you questions as things go along. But kind of, you know, why do you think communications and emergency communications are so important to an average person's life as far as emergency prep is concerned?
So as far as any sort of training that a lot of people like to do, physical, medical, defensive type training, it's communications overlooked. We get so used to having cell phones in our pocket and they work 99% of the time. So we just basically count on having a cell phone next to us. And when we were, you know, with the wilderness first aid class, signal was one of the, and even in your bug out bag class, mm-hmm. signal was a main thing. And it took to the very end to talk about cell phones and then possibly radios. And a signal flare can only do so much for you.
Right.
If you can talk to someone and get yourself out of the situation, that beats a signal flare pretty much any day of the week. Another thing, one of the common first steps of an emergency is one of the first, you know, first or second steps is to call 911. What happens if you can't? What happens if the phone was destroyed? If you're out of cell service, for some reason the cell service is down, you need to have a way to get a hold of people and get help, or to just flat out get a hold of people in general.
When you look at like general emergencies, cell phone services are often kind of
the grid gets
taken over, right, by emergency providers, and it's very heavily controlled. So being able to access someone via phone just flat out might not happen.
Exactly.
And obviously in a power outage or something like that that is vast, mm-hmm. That's also going to affect your ability to make a cell phone call, because if cell phone towers don't have power, your cell phone
don't
doesn't have a signal.
And one of the things with, and we'll get into sort of the amateur radio description, but a lot of it's based on emergency planning. So a lot of the whatever existing infrastructure there is around the radio systems, they do have backup power. They do run on solar power. They're planned to work when the cell phone services go down, and that's the whole basis for why a lot of these services still exist, even though the cell towers have kind of taken over, and you know that's what everyone's using right now. So,
well, another interesting aspect of this too, and we won't get too far into this as much because I want to cover more of what you think people should be preparing for. But you sent us this awesome outline with a bunch of information, and one of the things that you talked about is it's kind of a hobby similar to shooting.
Exactly.
There's long range, there's competition, there's emergency preparedness, there's kind of all these different ideas of why people get into radio. You know, you can talk to International Space Station, different satellites, you can bounce signals all over the globe and talk to people in other countries. I mean, I think everybody kind of knows that about like ham radio. You know, you can bounce it around, and it's very it's a very low power concept. So I don't have to have a ton of power. So even if I'm running on emergency power, mm-hmm. it probably takes more power to power your, you know, television set or something like that, I would guess.
Absolutely.
Than to power a ham radio.
And there are some technology out there that people are using radios that are the size of, they fit in an Altoid can, and they're running off a 9-volt battery, and they're going from continent to continent. So there are a lot of power options, and a lot of the, I brought some props in, listeners can't see it, but these radios will work off of AA, AAA batteries, they'll work off of vehicle batteries, there's wall power, solar power, basically, if you can get 9 to 12 volts going, direct current, then you're in business at some level of power. So it gives you a lot of options. So especially in an emergency situation, you might not, you know, power's out, you might have a little bit of an issue powering things. You know, it gives you a ton of options to get on the air and talk to people.
Now, I'm holding one of these small units you brought in, the Vertex standards here. These are... I remember growing up, my dad used to have a radio relatively similar to this, and this is 20-something years ago, but he had a radio that was relatively similar to this that was at the time CB,
mm-hmm.
right? But this goes beyond that now.
Exactly.
So this is – could you use a radio of this size for ham?
Yes, and that actually is a ham radio. So it's a commercial radio, and you can use it on – use it for ham frequencies or amateur radio frequencies. The reason I like that radio is the commercial radios, you can dump them in a bucket of water for 30 minutes and pick them up and they'll still work. You can drop them off of the second, don't drop my radio off the second story here.
Okay, I was like, don't call me out, dude. I will try your theory.
We will test your equipment.
The radios are definitely tougher than, the commercial radios are tougher than the amateur sort of hobbyist equipment, and they're definitely tougher than a cell phone. Like, if I knocked my cell phone off this desk right now, that'd probably ruin my life for a couple of days.
Right.
Because that's how I talk to everyone, basically. Right. But, you know, with those, it gives you a lot more options. If you're out and hiking around, and you take a dunk in the water, you can still talk to people.
And so, this is this little radio I'm holding right here, which is amazingly small. I don't need anything other than this.
Correct.
That's amazing.
So there are some limitations, just sort of like the way cell phones work. I mean, you know, in some buildings you walk, you'll get rougher reception. That just has to do with some of the way the building mechanics are. But if you stepped outside, you'll be able to get a hold of pretty much anyone in the state right now with that radio, by the way that the repeater systems work in the state.
Interesting. All right. So, I mean, already we're seeing that it doesn't take a lot as far as equipment. What's something like that going to cost somebody?
So the commercial radios, that's kind of later on, but those are about $300, but those are for your hardened, like, commercial type radio.
That's not that expensive. I mean, what do we all pay for our cell phones?
Exactly.
At least that.
And you're not getting a new radio every 2 years.
Yeah.
Because
and the screen's not going to crack.
Screen's not going to crack. Yeah. And, you know, if you drop it in the toilet.
And there's no monthly fee associated with it.
No.
Or anything like that.
So pretty much the only fee is your license, which it's basically $10 for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And there are different levels of licenses, which we may or may not get into today. But the basic license is $15 to take the test. And it's $10 for the license fee. And that's good for 10 years. So there's no monthly.
And those are easy classes from what I understand.
Exactly. So there are 12-year-olds that pass the test. It's 35-question test. The question and answer bank is available online. So if you spend a week just staring at the questions and answers, you'll be able to pass the test.
Pretty much be just fine. Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. So let's go back and talk a little bit about the kind of communication is key concept. I like when you talked about, you know, we're such big fans here of the total concept of the lifestyle, not just the gun, because there's so many people who are like, oh, I carry a gun, thus I am prepared, or maybe I carry a gun and I got a month of food, or I carry a gun, I got a month of food and a trauma kit or whatever, but there's still more to it. And we're always talking about fitness, and we're always talking about kind of emergency preparedness, and we're always talking about preparing those around you and all that. And this is one of those things that I would, if I had to guess, I would say might be the most overlooked prep.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
As far as communication.
Once again, cell phone service, for the last 10 years, I mean, cell service, you pretty much have to look for a place now. Even driving out of town, I just drove back and forth to Albuquerque. There was some level for the most part of cell service the entire way. There were some spots where it dropped off, but you know, that might not staying on the highway. That's the case. If you're going to go out hunting or you're going to go out and do something, you know, out in the desert or the woods, you might be going outside that cell service. And that's when you're typically doing things that, you know, you're cruising around ATVs, you're out shooting, hunting. Those are things that you can get hurt pretty easily. And you need to make sure you have a way to at least get a hold of someone and get out of there.
And I have an interesting story that happened this weekend about communications that I want to add in here. And Ted just went through our Wilderness First Aid class, not this last weekend, but the weekend before. And so this is applicable to that as well. So it's kind of an interesting story. I'm out. We taught precision rifle, our 3-day precision rifle class this past weekend. And so I was way, way, way downrange checking a target on something, making sure everything was okay with it during a break. And I get this text message. So I'm way out in the middle of Cowtown Range, nowhere, all downrange on the east side. And I get this text message, and all it says in all bold letters from a friend of mine, it says, EMS required, one female fell 15 feet, stable and conscious, Browns Peak, Four Peaks Summit area, you know, more info to follow. And so I'm like, oh, crap, this is my buddy. He's in trouble. Obviously, he needs some help. He himself is not hurt, but someone he's with is hurt. And I'm figuring since he's texting me, it's probably because he can't get out, right? Mm-hmm. So I start calling and trying to get routed through dispatch. From the time I got the text, which was at 3:59, I was able to get on the phone with 911 by 4:06. Took some hiking around and get into a spot where I had good signal. I was able to get on the phone with 911 at 4:06. By the time I got routed three times to the correct dispatcher, and got him the basic information, which also included what he looked like, the kind of vehicle he was driving. I didn't know what trailhead he was parked at or anything. And then more text started coming, and eventually he was able to get me his GPS coordinates, which made the day simple. Mm-hmm. And they were able to actually they went in with air assets and dropped him down and took care of this gal who ended up falling about 20 feet. Busted herself up pretty good, but survived. And he was there, by the way, from a wilderness perspective. He was there. So at 3:59, he texted me. I want to say about 6:30 or 7 a.m., he texted me again the following morning and said, okay, I'm out. Because, of course, they had to come get her out, and then they left him there, and they came back and got him. So, you know, it took a while for all that to happen. But he was hiking back. This was not involved with him. And another party in front of him was trying to hurry down the mountain, I think, you know, maybe to beat the daylight or whatever. And this gal slipped and fell, mm-hmm. and fell pretty far. So, one, trauma skills, they're important, mm-hmm. right? And he was laughing because he's like, yeah, I was wearing my independence training hat the whole time. Like, I guess telling everybody, hey, you need some skills, everybody. But, you know, here's a group of 20 people who had no idea what to do, right? Now, Brown's Peak in Four Peaks Summit is the highest peak of Four Peaks. No cell phone service. How ironic, right? The highest peak up there, no cell phone service. But how would a small radio like that have fared in that situation?
So we have a network in most states, actually, that there is a repeater network. And granted, if you're at the top of a hill, you're probably in a good position to use that repeater network anyway. But I know for a fact from the top of Four Peaks, there's a big repeater on the top of Mount Ord. And you would have, with any one of these handheld radios in front of you, you'd be able to go directly into that repeater. And there are... You could either contact someone directly, and people are listening, and people will be able to call 911 for you. You mm-hmm. can relay information to people who can relay it through a phone on the other end. There's also on Mount Ord, and that's the case in a lot of states. There's a feature called auto patch, which from the keypad on these little handheld radios, you can punch in a phone number, whether it be 911 or whether it be somebody to come pick you up. And you can talk into the radio like a regular cell phone call. So any one of those options, I mean, he might have, depending on what part of the peak he was on, if they were at the top or if they were at the bottom, he might have had to, you know, he would have been able to get a signal out. Absolutely, though. But the talking through the repeaters, if he keys up on one of those repeaters, people from pretty much all over the state are going to be able to pick up and see that that he has an issue going on. If he's not able to call 911 himself, somebody will be able to call 911.
And he wasn't able to. I mean, he was texting because after talking to him afterwards, you know, it was the only service he could get, mm-hmm. was just enough to send a text. So he's texting me. I'm now relaying the information to dispatch, you know, and back and forth with them and trying to make sure that they're getting there. And finally they did, you know, they got there and everything luckily turned out okay.
Yeah.
Their response time actually was pretty impressive. I will say how much time it takes to get help there is always something that's a notable thing, you know, anytime you have an emergency. And it took about an hour from the time that I had finalized directions to MCSO dispatch to the time that they actually were in the area with a bird, right, where he sent me, he was able to get better service and actually sent me a photo of the bird mm-hmm. coming in. That time was about an hour, which is impressive.
Yeah.
Right now, in a life-threatening situation, an hour still means a dead person, but luckily he's there to help and stabilize and everything. Whereas with a ham radio, I mean, if I wouldn't have been looking at my text messages, if I wouldn't have been in bad service,
he would have been down in the valley at Cowtown.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't have got that text for anything. So.
You know, so in that case, had he had maybe one of these radios, because mm-hmm. that was something I really started thinking about was things like spot receiver, transponders and stuff like that and how important they are. Now, looking at one of these new little tiny ham radios, I'm thinking, dude, just carry that thing around with you, get in a troublesome spot up there. Mm-hmm. He could have used that to mm-hmm. contact somebody and gotten a definite service and signal.
And I've listened to events on the radio as well, where MCSO's Fox One comes in and they talk directly to search and rescue people via mm-hmm. these radios on the ground. So they have the technology in there. So if they are talking to dispatch and they know you have a radio on you, they can coordinate talking directly to you, so you can help direct them into the LZ or, you know, whatever other info you need to give them. Because I don't know if some of the helicopters can't come in and winch you out. They're going to have to land. You're going to have to carry them to. So there's a lot of planning that goes into it rather than, mm-hmm. oh, the helicopter sees me. We're good now.
Yeah, it still could be an hour before anybody actually gets
Plus
to you.
Plus the other people that were out there, the 20 adults that couldn't find a way to signal back home to get help. The rest of them still have to hike out of there the mm-hmm. next day. So their journey of maybe a morning now turned into an overnight thing. So they might have some issues as well. So there's, you know, it just, there's, this opens you up for, it's not necessarily a cure-all, but this is going to work where cell phones don't. And it's going to give you a lot more options to get found and to get help if you need to.
Well, I remember something being said about the battlefield, and I'm going to totally screw this quote or this concept up, but it was something about the war only progresses as fast as the information travels, or it's something along those lines, right? Mm-hmm. There's a communication thing. One of my buddies was a radio guy, and he was all jacked up about this, you know, how important he was to the cause and everything, which of course he was, mm-hmm. you know. But that's like the whole concept here, right, is that a war only travels as fast. So we're not talking about war here, but the concept is we can only move man, materials, equipment, everything we need to get into position and coordinate efforts as fast as we can pass information. And I remember I was watching a World War I documentary with my son a year ago or so, and they had runners, mm-hmm. you know, and so the runners running back and forth between units. I mean, this dude is cardio to the max, mm-hmm. right? And he's running back and forth like, okay, go tell, you know, Captain so-and-so we're going to move to the left, because if you don't tell Captain so-and-so we're going to move to the left, and then we move to the left, you might think we're the enemy, right? So it's like, all right, so then this runner takes off running. My son's like, well, what happens if the runner gets shot?
They send another one.
And I'm like, well, if they don't know he got shot, though, crap, right? We kind of sent this signal. We have no real way of knowing it was received unless a runner comes back and says, hey, that information was passed on. Right. And then here's what he says. I got your information. Proceed as
the
usual.
The original radio operators.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And so I'm going, wow, you know what? And he's going, wow, that's so amazing that's how it has, you know, it used to have to be done. And you're like, look, even those guys, a fighting force, well-trained and coordinated, couldn't move without information. Mm-hmm. And so you put something in here that was interesting, because you said you're more likely to need information or communicate than fight, bug out, or put on a chest seal. What do you think about that?
So just on a day-to-day basis, so once again, when we're planning on, when we do our defensive training, we do our physical training, that's for all aspects of life. Some of the defensive training is training to perform in that really slim chance that you're going to have to perform under stress. When it comes to shooting or any sort of defensive type stuff, mm-hmm. you're going to need to communicate, or you're going to need to get information far more on a daily basis than you will. And the likelihood of you needing to get a hold of somebody else or to get information that's going to help, you know, make your day easier or maybe keep somebody alive, that likelihood's a lot higher than having to shoot someone or having to, you know, do some sort of medical work on somebody in our day-to-day life,
yeah.
for where we're at in the valley right now. So,
well, how many times have you communicated with someone so far today? How many phone calls?
Yeah, three times. Emails are going off on the phone all the mm-hmm. time. So, I mean, that's
and then how many times have you shot somebody today, or put on a chest seal, yeah. or bugged out?
Well,
the
four.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
17.
I haven't been to Walmart yet today.
Yeah,
so.
That Walmart though. But you know, and that's why, you know, I want to talk about that, because that's the reality, is people don't think about how much information and the ability to communicate affects their everyday life. I mean, mm-hmm. you take a phone away. And it's interesting because, you know, we're, with the exception of Mason sitting here, I think, you know, the rest of us were old enough to remember a life before cell phones. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember a life before cell phones. I remember a life before the internet. I remember a life before all that. And it's not like life was terrible and we didn't have information or anything like
really
that.
It's really weird. And really different when you think back on it.
When you think back about not having cell phones and not having, you know,
I remember not having cordless phones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you had to buy
my grandmother still has a cord phone.
Yeah, and you had to buy the 47-foot long coiled cord so you could hold it here and walk through the house
and go do something.
Yeah, it was terrible.
And you think about,
to be fair to me, I didn't get a cell phone until I was like 16 or something.
Yeah, but you were still in a world of cell phones, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We literally, when we grew up, there were no cell phones.
When I remember, the first cell phone I saw was about the size of this radio.
I was going to say it was
the
big radio. Bag phone.
Yeah, when it was in a bag, and it was made by Pioneer. Mm. And they were ridiculously huge.
Yeah, that was my dad's first cell phone, was a bag phone. And you think about how hard it was then to get service, to get a signal. I remember we would go out hunting or something, and he used it most for business, but we'd go out hunting, we'd take it with us as an emergency, and it was a big thing. And man, we could like never get service with it. You know, we always had to plug it into this special antenna he had in his truck so that it would actually get a signal. But, yeah, I mean, you think about that whole mentality, kind of like something else you referenced here, which was our hard-to-kill theme that we often bring up on the show, right? Being hard to kill. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're harder to kill if you have good information and the right information at the right time. I mean, you think about people who are hard to kill, it's a lot of it has to do with the information that they have and having that information at the appropriate time. So kind of give us more information on that as far as, you know, how you think this really ties in with that mentality.
Well, being able to gather info and communicate past your yelling or your eyesight, that gives you a better decision-making ability. So in your day-to-day life, it could be as simple as jumping on the radio or just listening and say, you know, there's traffic updates that guys will come out on during the morning and evening commute that they'll say, hey, traffic's on the 51 sucks past, Camelback Road. Or so that could be a time saver during the day.
Or keep you out of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Weather-related stuff. Driving back from Albuquerque this weekend, there was a little bit of snow halfway through. That could have possibly been a problem. Just being able to listen to weather stations and also listen to other people that are on the road. They will, call out to someone, say, hey, we're roughly at this point. Like, what's the traffic look like? What's the weather look like? That's something that could save you from spending a night in the car. Mm-hmm.
Or a night on the side of the road.
Which I've got a story about a year ago. We almost had to play that game, but we can talk about that a little bit later. But there's a lot of police, EMS, other radio traffic that you can monitor. It's somewhat limited what you can listen to on some of the police coordinates, but for the most part, the general dispatch stuff for departments gets put out over the radio that you can monitor, so you can at least know if something major is happening. You're not going to hear down to the individual squad car type communications. With most of these, you can do it with other technology, but for the stuff we're focusing on today, you can get the general gist of what's going on with what's going on around you. Other than that, planning for any sort of other type of emergency, whether it be a little family emergency, or if you go hiking, you fall off a cliff, that's a pretty big emergency at the time. If you look at some of the other man-made or natural disasters that are going on just even recently, that's something that you'd want to be able to have communication. If you have people that are split up, you need to tell people you're okay. If you need to gather information on, a big fire that's coming through town, or there's a dam that's about to rupture and wash your life away, it'd be nice to be able to monitor.
Too
soon.
Nope.
To be able to monitor some of that traffic and also some of the emergency traffic to say, hey, the water's coming, or hey, it's holding, we're doing okay still. So it just gives you a bigger, wider picture than what you would normally have just looking and listening with what you can hear within eyesight or, within earshot.
And you mentioned already that they're more rugged and they're more water resistant. They're drop safe. They're obviously, you can beat these things up a little bit more than you can a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I am hesitant to, even sometimes on backpacking trips, I treat my cell phone like it's some kind of valuable diamond, when I put mm-hmm. it in my backpack, because sometimes things get a little rough and I'm always like, I take it in this little cushioned waterproof box to make sure that it doesn't get destroyed.
Exactly.
Something like that. Maybe I don't have to worry as much about. You've got a greater power output, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one question I have though is, we talked about, okay, power goes out, we lose, cell phone towers.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't you also lose those transponders or the repeaters? I mean, the repeaters for these radios.
So the repeaters are typically, since they are emergency focused, that's where a lot of the resources go into putting the repeaters. Are backing up a little bit. Repeaters are basically sort of a relay station on top mm-hmm. of a mountain. So it captures weak signals and then transmits it out over a further distance at higher power. A lot of those are on backup power. So they have either battery power. A lot of them have generators to charge the batteries to keep running the power. So if there is a grid down sort of emergency, or just the grid goes down, those repeaters will typically stay up on that backup power. And they'll still be active for as long as there's, fuel in the generator, or, the sun's still shining and charging up the batteries. So they're connected to the grid, but when that grid drops off, they have, most of them will have backup systems, especially the larger systems in the state.
Thank you, Cold War paranoia.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of the ham radio stuff, the infrastructure that is in existence right now, is meant to be a backup for military communications. And there are groups right now that work with military units on a monthly basis, and they do training events back and forth where they test to see from coast to coast, what messages can we push across, and are we able to contact Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, these different bases, so that it's still, that still exists, and there are still people that are getting ready for that. So, but a lot of the infrastructure has a lot of backups, and it's emergency focused.
Now, can I take one of these radios and communicate excuse me, radio to radio, like a normal handheld FRS type radio.
Exactly. So any of these radios, so radio to radio, that's called simplex. So you pretty much are just radio to radio. And in that instance, the range is limited to the power and what the antennas you have on each unit. Mm-hmm. Most of these radios are going to be about 2 miles. And that's with the UHF and VHF radios. When I say 2 miles, it's two miles. It's not like the advertised on the Walmart radios, right. 30 miles.
That's a line of sight silliness. Yeah.
These, you'll get about 2 miles. And when you go with different antenna types, there are magnet mounts for your vehicles. Those having a different antenna is going to get you, it's going to be a benefit for you too. So those are other options that, radio to radio, if you're out hiking across a canyon and you need to talk to someone, that's a great thing. Radio to repeater with these radios, that's another good thing. You might have to, there are options, you might need to string up a little backpacking antenna, hang this up in a tree. That's going to probably push you out a little further. Some of the other radios that are either meant for vehicles or there are some backpacking or like some more rugged type radios, you'll be able to push a signal 70 plus miles from radio to radio with that, just because the power is a lot higher and the battery's a lot different.
Now, this vehicle type radio that you brought in here, this one in the green case, that's something obviously designed for vehicle mount, looks very much like a military radio mount. Is that the kind of thing you would also use in your home?
Exactly.
And so you just hook it up to the biggest ass antenna you can possibly find, and that's obviously going to boost however much power.
Exactly. And without getting too specific on the types of antennas, if you can have an external antenna, that's going to help with your signal. So if you're transmitting with some of these in your vehicle, because of the fact you're in a vehicle, that's going to kill a little bit of the reception. But you hook a different antenna up, or when I'm rolling around in my vehicle, I have a magnet or an antenna on top of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. And that with one of these handheld radios is no problem whatsoever.
Do you still have to plug into the handheld though?
Yes, exactly. So okay. It's just a cord that plugs right in the top of this radio and you're good to go.
All right. Now, which one of those brands of small radios do you recommend? If we were going to, I've already had actually two listeners have already emailed me and said, hey, what small brand? So I know that obviously it's something that I'm interested in. I know other people are already interested in.
So if you were at all interested in amateur radio or ham radio within the last 5 years, you probably have read something out about Baofeng radios. And what it is, it's a Chinese radio. And the Chinese came in and basically built a radio that was typically $150 to $300 handheld radio. They made it available for $50 and less. Mm-hmm. So that gave people that were kind of on the fence of like, oh, I don't know about getting licensed, this radio equipment's really expensive.
$50 for this whole thing.
$35.
$35.
So 30.
What? And it's Baofeng, which is Baofeng. Baofeng.
Baofeng.
Baofeng.
It's Baofeng.
Baofeng.
So that got a lot of people started, and that's a good spot because you can flip that on, punch in numbers, actually listen to people. You can communicate with a lot of other people. The Chinese radios, a lot of them, they come a little more unlocked with where you can transmit, which isn't necessarily legal for a lot of people to do. But when you're looking at an emergency communication setup, if it's an emergency, the same rules do not apply to you with where you can transmit and what you can do with the radio. So it gives you options, and it kind of, for that $35 basically disposable dollar amount, that got people interested. And then you just, you can go up from there.
And they're fairly rugged. We use them a lot at my unit for training lanes. Mm-hmm. We're doing like IED lanes because they were actually quite commonly used in Iraq and Afghanistan for a while for remote detonators. But we use them quite a bit. We had 5 or 6 of them out in Alaska with us over the summer. And we beat the ever-loving shit out of them. Left them out in the rain, buried them in the ground, carried them in our pockets, tossed them in the trucks. And they all still worked at the end of the week for like 10-day training evolution. So they're fairly robust for the cost, which is kind of a contradictory thing that you come across.
So if you were to get started, if you were somewhat interested in getting into this, whether it be just to be a little bit more prepared or if you kind of wanted to look into the hobby just a little bit, $35 on Amazon Prime. It's the Baofeng UV5R that's been available for probably 7+ years now. I can't, there are newer versions and there are alternate versions of it too. but that'd be the best place to start. And chances are, if anyone had been licensed within the last 5 years, that was probably one of the first radios they had. And it's a good intro of just being able to listen, and also to see, to test out what the limitations are of what you can listen to, what you can hear, and where you can transmit, and kind of what you can get away with. But once again, these $35 radios, these are radio to radio simplex at 5 watts, which is that's that radio's max power. That's about 1.5 to 2 miles out in the woods or in the desert. Granted, if you're going to be working in buildings, that's going to cut the range down a little bit, but still, it's power-wise, it's on par with some of the commercial radios that are on there. Quality is not going to be as good as some of those radios, but the other option, without getting too thick into the model numbers, but the Baofeng UV82, that's kind of the newer model. It's a little beefier. That's going to be probably in about the $60 range, but that's within the last few years, that's been the model that came out. But I'd say if you're interested in getting started, buy a radio and start listening. And there are a bunch of resources online that you can see where EMS or where the PD frequencies are. You can look around you and see where the other amateur radio people are talking, what repeaters they're using. There are net events that happen all throughout the week at certain times where people will call and check in on the radios. And for the most part, they're just testing to make sure their stuff's working. So they have groups of retired guys that talk about their medical procedures for the day and, talk about how tired they are and everything. Then you also have emergency planning people that run through scenarios saying, okay, I want, for this week's exercise, we're going to go out of the house, pick a location, transmit from there. What were the, pluses and minuses of of your setup? What can you improve on it? And, the whole point is that gets a little bit more into the hobbyist portion of it. But with the focus of being able to gather information, being able to talk to people, that's a good start. These Baofeng radios, it's just a good start. Granted, if you're going to transmit on them, we can talk about the licensing later, but you're going to need to get a fairly simple license to be able to use the capability of the radio.
Let's talk about the types of radios too.
Sure.
You kind of mentioned the blister pack type radios at Walmart, the FRS stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff we use a lot for basic communications, on the range or at a special event or something like that. Pretty much people are going to use FRS radios. They're very short range. They're not typically very clear. Mm-hmm. Most of the time you're going to have line of sight, but you have the capability of having really simple radio communications.
Exactly.
And it's cheap.
It's cheap.
So that's really the benefit of the FRS.
And there's no license, and, what are they? Probably 10, 15 bucks a radio, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you buy them in a camo pattern, maybe they're double that, but it's still the same radio that's packaged. These Baofeng radios can talk to those radios as well.
Okay.
So that gives you an option in the sort of emergency planning standpoint. You might be surrounded by a bunch of hikers that just have those. Mm-hmm. Well, you can talk to those guys on these radios as
that's
well.
That's pretty freaking cool.
Oh, damn it. Now I have to get my ham radio license.
Now I have to get a Baofeng radio. All right. Now that you have CBs, right? And CBs is a little bit different. That's a common kind of more off-road type radio frequency. You'll see a lot of old Jeeps and stuff like that have, obviously, truckers and stuff like that. But is that really, even in that world, is it really that common still to be using CB?
It's really not common. And you see a lot of, we'll say, grocery getter type Jeeps with that CB antenna flopping around the back of their Jeep. And every time, if you try to get a hold of them, the radio's off. They're not even, if they even have a radio on there, they probably just want to have the cool whip antenna on the back. Truckers use it, but for the most part, when you're out on the highway, it's kind of just a cesspool. It's
pretty gross,
pretty much a locker room on the air. I mean, it's you're not going to get very good info out of it just from the fact that they just don't care. They just use it kind of as a party line as they're driving to stay entertained.
Right.
So you could, as far as on a trail radio from Jeep to Jeep, when you can basically see, you might go one canyon over, that would still work. No license required. That's still a good option. For overall, the VHF and the UHF handheld and mobile radios will smoke the CB radios, hands down.
And then you get into other things like, sat phones, which you've got listed on here. The phones are expensive. The calling is expensive for most people. Mm-hmm. $400 or $500 for the phone, another $100-something a year usually for some kind of contract or some kind of usage. And then it's usually still per minute. So that's not really a cost-effective plan for most people.
No.
And they're bigger than these.
Yeah.
They're definitely bigger than that Baofeng. And, or Bao, how are we saying it?
Baofeng.
Baofeng. All right. I'm American, so it's however it's spelled. And then you have GMRS. Now, explain to me the whole GMRS thing, because you always have those blister pack radios that say FRS slash GMRS, which is like that kind of family, what do they call it, the family?
So FRS is, family radio system. Right. GMRS, I don't know what it stands for, but it's a license that you can buy as a family unit. It's $80, I think, for 10 years. And the radios are a little bit more powerful. You can talk radio to radio, and they also have repeater technology for those, too. So if you were to set up, there are some GRMS repeaters around town, but a lot of people don't use them because if you're going to be licensed and use some of the VHF, UHF radios, your coverage is a lot better and you're going to be able to talk to a lot more people. But if you were going to set up something if you had a lot of property and you just needed radios for the family, GMRS would be the way to go for that without having to get every single person licensed to just do day-to-day type communication stuff. If it's an emergency, doesn't matter. You know, you can hand the radio off to whoever, and as long as they're on the right channel, someone's going to hear them, or right frequency, rather.
So from emergency perspective, the VHS, UHF obviously seem like the better option.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as PRAC app goes, I mean, I think we kind of covered that a little bit already, but you can make phone calls with these things.
Exactly.
You can can you do that with all of them or just the Baofengs communicate with FRS?
No, basically any of these, you can even go a little ghetto on it. If you can generate the phone tones into the radio, that'll make the phone call. Cause that's what that generates when you're
DTMF board though.
The DTMF is what that's called. So, if you can generate the tones of a phone. So, I mean, granted, if you can't make a call with your cell phone, but if you can make the noises with your cell phone, there are apps to do that. Key up the radio, punch in the number with your phone, have that speaker put it right into there, and that'll make the phone call. So that's an option. But making a phone call. So if you do auto patch, which is the feature on a lot of repeaters, you'll be able to, if you look on repeaterbook.com, happens to be a way that you can search geographically what local repeaters are nearby. And they'll let you know if there's auto patch available. They'll let you know what phone numbers you can call. So most of the ones in the state will be 602-480, local area codes, so you're not calling long distance on it. They'll have a timer of about 3 minutes. So it's not something you're going to call your girlfriend and talk for, 2 hours. You call and say, hey, my phone's not working, or hey, I need to get picked up. Here's my GPS coordinates, later. That's pretty much it. You can also call 911 through them, too. You have a little bit of, you're going to still have to relay that same information, and you might get passed from dispatch to dispatch, but you're still from a radio talking to 911, and you're able to relay information through that. So that's a real solid option.
You also mentioned, you can get weather updates, you can get local information, you can get all that, which is also beneficial. But there's another thing in here that's kind of interesting. You said you can actually send text messages?
Yes. So there is a technology that's called APRS, and that's Automatic Packet Reporting System. And I brought in something to demo, but I basically have a setup with this Baofeng radio. There's a little device that works through Bluetooth, and through either a cell phone or a tablet, I can send text messages directly to cell phones. I can send emails directly to regular email addresses. I can also transmit my location, and I can track my location on trips.
Yeah, because you said here it's kind of like a ghetto Blue Force tracker.
Yeah, so military guys know what a Blue Force tracker is. I have a little tablet that I can take with me. I took it with me on my Albuquerque trip. I turned it on and started tracking from Phoenix, and I've got a map that literally tracks me up 87 all the way up to 40 and across, because every 20 minutes it was sending a ping out saying where I was at. You don't necessarily have to track yourself doing that, but that's one of the options. I can send a link to friends or family and say, hey, here's the link, here's where I'm at, and it'll show my progress update without having all they need to do is click a link in their email or text.
You're gonna hide one of those in my kid's car when he starts driving, man.
But you've got to have, at that point, wouldn't you still have to have cell phone service?
No cell phone service. As far as cell phone service working,
yeah,
as far as a grid down situation, so that would not be the case,
right?
But if, like in this case, when we're going through Albuquerque, if we got stopped for whatever reason, weather or an accident, I could use this service to shoot a text out or an email out with my location information in it to whoever I needed to.
Even if you have no service.
Even if I have no cell
service.
Because
you're sending the information over from your phone to the radio, and then the radio is the thing sending the actual signal.
Exactly.
That is freaking badass, man.
So from this right now, pretty much anywhere
in the
state. You
don't need another hobby, Glenn.
Anywhere in the
too
state.
Too late. I just picked one up today. Yeah.
If the cell phone doesn't work, then the app is on the phone or a tablet. So if you want to get a throwaway cell phone to stick in a bag, or if you want to use a ruggedized tablet, there's a built-in, you do maps. So you can have, there's a map that you can download that's all offline map. So you use the GPS in either your tablet or your phone to get GPS coordinates to send location information. Or you could just type out like, hey, I'll be late. Send a text or an email to whoever. So once again, some of the spots and some of the other options, like the emergency come get me beacons. Yes, you have the options of sending texts on some of them, but you might not. Some of them, you don't want to hit that emergency button if you've got a flat tire and all you really need is just have someone drive out and come pick you up. Right. So with this gives you the information to relay your position literally via Google Maps. Like someone will get a link and click it and say, oh, okay, there they're at. There they are. And this is where they've been for the last 2 or 3 hours on the track. So APRS, it's a cool tool. You don't necessarily need to have a tablet tagging along with it. Some of it's built into radios. So just for the tracking capability, yeah. You can also send it from the radios too. So there's no cell phone needed. But I like to use the tablet option because I can type out the emails or text a little easier, and it also gives me a real-time updated location info offline of where I'm at with some pretty detailed maps when I'm out driving around. So it's a pretty slick solution, and that you could do a whole show on APRS, but just as an intro to it, it's a really cool tool to be able to pass information.
And APRS is automatic packet reporting system.
Correct.
Which is amazing. I had no idea that even was a thing.
This is 30-year-old, 40-year-old technology.
Now you make me feel stupid. Thanks, Ted.
I mean, it is. I mean, that's where a lot of the technology hasn't changed. We've been able to add some of the Android cool stuff into it, but for the most part, I don't know when APRS came about. I think it was probably late 80s, but I mean, it's not.
But it's amazing that I can, with no cell phone service, send a text and or email through my radio to an actual phone as a text or an actual, computer as an email. Like that's an incredible emergency preparedness piece of equipment right there.
Mm-hmm. And that wouldn't necessarily be something you wouldn't, like if you're going super lightweight hiking, you might not bring that, but you still have the radio capability.
Sure, but if you're on the road or something like that.
So that's like on our road trip, or if you're going to be out on a week-long hunting trip, then, you could carry this around with you and, you could... Yeah, this little handheld radio that's kind of no bigger than whatever, like two packs of cigarettes, that's going to track your location. So someone will know where your base camp is, and then someone can track, where you're. You might not want people to know where your hunting spots are, but still, if you needed help, you turn the radio on with that beacon setting, and someone's going to know exactly where you're at and what time the beacon was sent, and it just gives you a lot of options to be found.
And all someone's going to need to have one of these radios, you need nothing. You just buy the thing, right? But to transmit voice on the radio, you're going to need your license.
You're going to need a license.
Now, could I use APRS without a license?
No, you're going to need a license.
Any kind of transmitting leaving that radio needs to be accompanied by a license.
Exactly.
And your tech license, $15 for the test, $10 for the license, lasts you 10 years.
Exactly.
At the end of 10 years, you just retake the test?
Mm-hmm. Nope, I'm sorry. No, you don't need to retake the test. You just... Send in your $10 or whatever it's going to be in 10 years.
Kind of like a CCW permit.
Yeah,
pretty much.
But you like have to do the class once.
Like a CCW permit, though, if you just go buy a handgun and you're like, okay, I'm good, just get take the class, you're not going to know what you can get away with and kind of what works and what doesn't. So you need to have the license and you need to test the equipment first, because if you're hungry and cold or you're stuck on the side of the road, you're not going to figure out how to program your radio. at that moment. So that's where, once again, you don't need to turn this into a hobby. You just need to take it as far as you want to go for the most part and get out. If that's all you want to do is just a backup option to get a hold of someone, then that just take it as far as that. You don't need to become a get an electronics degree or anything like that.
But so there's not like an off the shelf solution, so to speak, but you can definitely, for a very minimal investment in both money, time, and energy, you can get set up, test your radio once a month, every couple months, just like you should be with your firearm or whatever. Mm-hmm. Make sure the stuff works, know how to program it, know that it works, know that the batteries are good, et cetera.
Exactly.
And you could stay proficient enough, you think?
Mm-hmm. So $35 radio, licensing's $25. So you're up to $60 now. I would suggest getting a magnet mount for your vehicle, which once again is an Amazon thing, mm-hmm. probably $30 to $40. So you're in it for maybe $100 total. Being able to transmit while you're in your car, that magnet mount, you can take it off your car and stick it to the side of your house or wherever. That magnet mount's going to get you a little better reception and transmit than these little rubber duck antennas that are attached to the radio. $110. I mean, that's not even a day of class. That's probably the ammo you'd go shoot, in a day or two worth of shooting.
Well, so we're still talking about less than a $200 investment here.
Exactly.
To get a badass antenna, a good radio, take the test, and get licensed.
And that opens up that capability. Yeah. That opens up a lot of options for you to be able to be found or get a hold of people.
What does something like that little APRS module cost?
So this is, it's MobileLink D is what the device is called. So it's $70. And what this does is it basically creates a Bluetooth link from either an Android device or a computer to the radio. So that's how, there are other options too. You can literally plug a cord into your audio cable from your phone and plug it into the radio now and do the same thing. The Bluetooth gives me some options because I can use that in my car radio. I can use that on these little handheld radios. I can take it and move it around where I need to. It's not necessarily stuck to one particular radio. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to do the APRS stuff, you're going to be in it another probably $70 to $90 when you get the adapters and the actual device. But once again, $80-$90 is not that big of a deal, especially when you look at what the subscriptions for spots and what the prices of some of the emergency beacons. Mm-hmm. It's really not that big of a deal.
Now, one thing you mentioned here in your outline that I think is important to mention is the whole kind of lack of privacy thing.
Mm-hmm. So pretty much on the amateur radio side, if you're transmitting, people are listening. So you're not going to have that private of a conversation. Even if you are, let's say, an emergency situation, or even if you're just talking radio to radio, anyone with a $30 Radio Shack scanner, first time you key the mic, they might not be able to, they'd be like, okay, there's traffic. Second time you key the mic, anyone with a little bit of radio know-how is going to know exactly where you're at. And they're going to know pretty much what the capabilities of your radio will be. So, yeah.
Is there a way to encrypt these?
Amateur radio, no. You can't encrypt it. And so from your license, you can't encrypt it. You're not supposed to use any sort of codes or any sort of digital modes that aren't common. Okay. So the answer is no. So that could be a whole other show of trying to be sneaky with radios. And
The legal answer is no.
The legal answer is no. No encryption. You don't necessarily have to say, hey, Ted Harden, how are you doing today back in your house in Phoenix and blah, blah, blah. You don't give out whatever you need to. But when you throw your call sign out, which is required, you'll be able to look up the FCC record. There's a name and a rough address attached to that. And that's just sort of to keep people honest and, yeah. So not a lot of privacy. There are ways you can become watch privacy a little bit, but for the most part.
Right.
But in an emergency situation, you don't need a call sign. But once again, if you are not trained on how to be with the license, that capability of transmitting with that, if you're not trained up on that, you're not going to be able to use it during an emergency because you're not going to know what to do and where you can transmit and how to get a hold of people, basically.
So we've covered a ton of information today. I know there's still even more information. Just your outline.
This could be like
extensive.
Month long.
Yeah.
It's
kind of tough to do an intro.
We could easily make this into another show. So for our listeners, if you want to hear more about this, please let us know, and we'll try to schedule with Ted and get him in here again and maybe talk some more specific stuff. So if you're interested in it, send us an email or a message on any of our social media sites. let us know, info@trainingaz.com. If it's something that you want to learn more about, it's kind of the last couple minutes here, Ted. What are some kind of final parting words you have for people who might be interested in getting involved in this?
So first thing I would do is go and buy a radio. Listen, because gaining the information, learning how people speak on the radio, learning where people are, which frequencies people are meeting on at what timelines, that's important to start, because the more you listen, the more you'll know. And people come on with a lot of pretty common questions, and you're just sitting there gaining information. And all you have to do is listen. You can pretty much listen from anywhere in the house, in your car, doing whatever. The next option would be look around and see where you can get licensed where you can take your test to get licensed. There are groups in pretty much every city in Phoenix that you can go and pick a weekend. Mm-hmm. Someone will be putting on a test. Get interested in, you don't just go and sign up for the test and find the study materials online and get started with that. And then as soon as you get your letter back saying you're good, then jump on and start transmitting with your call sign, and you'll immediately start learning as soon as you have that license, and as soon as you can talk to people and do your own troubleshooting, that's when the learning really starts.
Right on. Man, that was a ton of great information. I am very excited. We'll be buying some stuff for sure, so I'll be hitting you up for some more.
Can your call sign be Rubber Ducky?
Rubber Ducky.
And you're going to be Monkey Nuts, right?
Monkey Nuts, yep.
Right on. Well, Ted, thank you so much for coming into the show, man.
Yep, no problem.
That was a ton of great information. All right. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you if you want more information about hosting us to train you on all the multiple things we cover. Shoot us over an email, info@trainingaz.com. Make sure you follow us as The Arms Room Show on both Facebook and Instagram. Please follow us on Instagram. We have like the worst Instagram following ever.
Really?
So, oh man, if you're an Instagram person, please go to The Arms Room Show and follow us. We have a terrible following on Instagram.
Help us.
Help us on Instagram. Please. We have a great Facebook following. We have this great, huge listener base to the show. Like, Instagram just sucks. So if you're an Instagram person, please jump on The Arms Room and show us a little bit of love. We would greatly appreciate it. Make sure you follow Redwire Gear and Independence Training on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Yep.
We are proud members of the Heroes Media Group, so make sure you check out some of the other shows on the network. There are some other really useful shows. Nothing as amazing as ours.
Heard a rumor that there are 6 new shows starting this week.
There are. There are a bunch of new shows coming up. So yeah, Heroes Media Group's got a bunch of other cool shows. Make sure you check them out. And next week, we are going to be talking an interesting topic that actually got requested by a lot of users, and I'm interested
listeners.
Listeners, thank you.
And users.
And I'm interested to see how this goes. Running a
what range, are they using?
Running a training company and running the show.
So what are we doing next week? Are we controversial next week?
I don't know if it's controversial, but we're going to be talking about the emasculation of men and how to raise strong boys. As a
beat
father, em. How do we raise strong
get
boys?
Beat them, make them stronger.
Like Mason.
Well, hey.
So they turn
I resemble that
like
remark.
Mason, but not too much.
It
like
happens.
Mason. All right, you guys, until next week, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.